Was William Vitalis with Open My Heart to the World. Welcome to Let's Find Out. The focus of this program is to have our hearts open to the universal, united, kind, loving, and forgiving planet. We have entered into a new decade and new energy form, the transformational 20s. Let's all begin to strengthen the new energies on the planet, strengthen your intuition, and strive to live a peaceful existence free from fear. What strategies, prayers, meditations, and exercises can one use to tap into the higher realms and receive messages from our departed loved ones, creating a higher vibration of living? When we're upset and confused, where can we find the answers? How can we know which path to take? The answers are here on Let's Find Out with our spiritually focused format and guests. And now it's time for tonight's program, Let's Find Out with Elizabeth Joyce.
Well, good evening. This is Elizabeth Joyce, and we're on our new time, Mondays, and it's a pleasure to be with you on OM Radio. I have a wonderful guest tonight. Her name is Sharon Lynn Wythe, and Sharon is recognized internationally as a name expert, and she can determine one's strengths, challenges, and the purpose of one's life by deciphering a person's name. It is so interesting. Sharon created nemeology science, which is the study of the placement of the letters in a name. And after 15 years of research, followed by 3 years of testing her theories, traveling in over 70 countries, including Russia, India, and China. Over the years, she's been able to support thousands of people around the world in understanding themselves and others better. And of course, that's what we're doing in this new world we're creating. Today, nemeology science assists different individual groups, human resource departments in choosing appropriate candidates to interview, lawyers on how to present cases to judges, and in picking their juries. Watch out, Bull, we got some competition here. And couples and families in seeking how to better communicate with each other to improve their relationships. She also creates names for new businesses, new products, and when people wish to change their name, she helps them. Her best-selling books are Know the Name, Know the Person, and it's won awards for excellence in writing. Sharon is a frequent guest on both radio and television, and we're pleased to have us with her today. Her with us today. Oh my goodness, I'm under pressure. Hi, Sharon, can you help me out here?
So nice to join you again, Elizabeth.
Well, you know, it's the first time on OM Radio, and I'm thrilled that you're here. Tell us a little bit about how you became an expert and how you're able to come up with this system. You know, I know you tell me many times, but it's fascinating to me. And don't you have some skeptics?
Oh, of course I do. But when I start analyzing their names of people that they know I don't know, And then I start giving them information about it. Skeptics right away become believers. So it's a science. It's something that works, and anybody can do it once you learn the system. And to answer your question, I started coming up with it when I was making the seating chart in my classroom on my seventh year of teaching. And I noticed as I was starting my fourth class to put down the names that my brain was giving me the entire time the same type of thinking that I do once I know the kids. Like, I can't put Joshua next to Julie because together they'll be clowns, but separated they're okay. And that Stephanie's going to be stubborn, so put her in her seat on the side so you don't have to move her very often. And Derek's going to need extra help. And so when I realized that my brain was doing this, I thought, okay, I'm going to go back and write what I'm getting from every single child. I'm going to put it away until winter break and then look at it again. And when I looked at it the 3 months later, I was amazed at its accuracy. So then I thought, okay, what do I have to do to make what's unconscious conscious? Now, my brain's thoroughly trained in patterns because I was a math major in college and I have my master's degree. And so it was then a process that took 15 years and then 3 years of testing, like you said, in over 70 countries to make sure that what the patterns that I had come up with were accurate.
15 years is a bit of time. Now, I learned from Louise Hay that there's a lot of ways that people communicate, some of it not pleasant, and some of it can be very warm and loving. So how are you constructing communication, and are there different styles?
Yes, there's six different styles of communication from what I found. And our communication style lies in the first vowel in the first name of an individual. For example, your first vowel is an E. So you want to start always with, hi, how are you? And you want to connect with somebody before you start going into details. You want to make sure everybody's okay. Now, first vowel is an A. And the A's, it's like, what do you want? Let's take care of that first, and then we'll connect afterwards if there's time. So it's exactly the reverse. So if I know that I'm going to be speaking with somebody with the first vowel of an E, I'm going to start in their style and able to have them be comfortable and connect first, even though there's a part of me that says, can we just get down to business?
Well, you know, that's tuning into somebody else and being in their turf. That's what I always say. You can't point your finger at people anymore and say, you bad thing, you have to do it right. You have to go to where they live. And that's takes intuition, and that also takes empathy. And that's good.
If you know the first vowel of every name, they all have their own style. And that's why I wrote the very thin book that's called Know the Name, Know How to Connect, so that you could quickly learn what does that person need to connect with you? What is it going to take to make a long-term relationship? You know, what is that person like for gifts? I mean, so what's the learning style? So much information just lies in that first vowel.
Well, you know, when I was on the Indian reservation over in Flagstaff, Arizona, the Hopi Indians, they were telling me how they named their children, because that always fascinated me. And it has to do with how they present themselves and what their aura energy is. So how do you, you know about names and rituals. Are there rituals with what you do?
Not rituals so much. And when there were still only seven religions on the planet, according to Dr. Eugene Whitworth's work, they all agreed on 10 main ideas. And one of the ideas was that the incoming soul impresses upon the one naming them what they want to be called. Mm-hmm. So in essence, we name ourselves. Then I always say, once you've got the name, call me, and I'll look at the name and see what the lessons are for that child or that individual, or more than lessons, it's the reasons why they're here. The seven purposes of why we're here sit in the name. And then let's change the lettering or possibly change the spelling of the name so they get the name they want, but the lessons are easier.
That's kind of what I did when I went to the name Joyce. I like the name because it has the word joy in it.
But it's an incredibly powerful name.
Oh, good. I didn't know that. I just like the name Joy.
I mean, I always say if there's reincarnation, I'm coming back with a J-O in my name next time.
I have a J-E, Jeffrey. Does that change it?
No, that's for your son, but you gave you a day.
Yeah, I did. But I was saying Jeffrey impressed me upon me his name before he was born. I called him Jeffrey all the time I carried him. We just had trouble learning how to spell it. I wanted to spell it with the G, G-E-F-F. So how would that have changed it, with a J-E-F-F or a G-E-F-F?
Well, people that whose first names start with a J have a possibility of becoming millionaires. People with the first letter of a G are going to work incredibly hard to get there because it's not guaranteed that that's even a possibility for them, depending on the other letters in the name.
Well, he must have impressed upon his father because he wouldn't let me do it. But my older sister picked his middle name, and I think middle names are important, and they're very overlooked. His middle name is Richard, Jeffrey Richard, and it's Van in Norwegian, so that's a crazy name, too.
Well, the middle name always indicates where you go under stress. So the first name is the essence of who you are. And the middle name is where you change or where you head for those qualities and characteristics when you're under stress.
Oh, that's
and
so
the last name is in your environment. Like, what are your parents trying to teach you? What are your teachers, your friends, you know, your acquaintances? What are they all trying to share with you and get you to mold or move or change? That's all represented in your last name. And then, so if you look at it, like the ingredients in it, you're going to make something in the kitchen. The first name is all the ingredients. And the last name is the recipes you can make out of those ingredients. So all the names are important. And for those people that believe in reincarnation, the middle name tells you about your immediate past life.
Well, mine is Ann, A-N-N.
So a lot of people with the middle name of Ann, A-N-N, were in some kind of a secluded, like a monastery or secluded place where the real focus was all spirituality and learning. And many of the people whose middle names are Anne became what I call mother superiors out of necessity because no one else in the group was qualified. So they got it kind of by default. Not that they really wanted that position, but they were good at it.
So can you help us a little bit talk about the coronavirus and how this is affecting everybody and when you think it might lift? And they renamed that too.
The coronavirus, if you just look at the last two letters being the U.S., you know that it's going to affect all of us, and it's going to affect us permanently. It looks to me from doing the timing in the name that it'll probably lift sometime in May. You know, the end of April, I think, is a goal, but I think it won't really lift until May. But it also has a loop in it, which means that it could come back for a very short period of time, possibly starting in September, and then die out again by November.
So, well, according to astrology, and this is very interesting, it started on Christmas Eve with the eclipse that we had in Cancer, and the next one we're having in Capricorn in June, and that should make it leave. That's the astrology of it. So I've been saying it's going to leave, you know, by June 25th. And I think it'll leave very quickly, as fast as it came in. And I do think it will come back, but it may not be for a few years. But it's just so interesting the way that worked. This is Elizabeth Joyce on Let's Find Out. And if you'd like to call and ask Sharon about your name, we take calls. The number is 202-570-7057. So we have a little bit of time if you'd like to call and ask about your name. Again, it's 202-570-7057. Now, Sharon, an important thing to me is that you're a coaster like I am, and you are going to be on Coast this week, are you not?
Yes, Wednesday night.
That's excellent. And you're going to be talking about nemiology, but you've been on before.
Yeah, so we're going to go into depth on the coronavirus and the different viruses and their strength according to their name or what their lessons were or what their gifts were. Because like in the coronavirus, there's a gift, there's opportunities. No name is all good or all bad. Okay, mm-hmm. So there's opportunities in the middle of coronavirus, and there's opportunities to get to know ourselves better, to really decide what's important in our life, to be able to look at our life and say, what is it that I really choose to be doing? And I'm slowing down enough so that instead of me getting so busy that I don't think or don't have time for reflection, it's like now I have time for reflection. And I'm speaking of I as in all of us. We have time for reflection. We have time for connection. You can see who you're wanting to connect with and who is choosing to connect with you, because you know those are the most important people in your life. And then it's also important to realize who doesn't reach out and who doesn't connect, and decide if how important.
It's interesting.
Right, and where they fit in your life. And everybody has the same amount of time per year, you know, in minutes and seconds and whatever else. And so how we spend that time becomes very important. And so the coronavirus is giving us that gift.
If I had been pregnant with Jeffrey and you had told me the difference between the G and the J, I never would have wanted to have named him with the G. So what advice do you have for parents when they're naming their child?
I say let the name be impressed upon them, and then come see me and I'll help you spell it so that your child gets the reason that they want to be here and they still have it, but it's done an easier way instead of a difficult way. Because some names are incredibly difficult. And I think you really set your child up for success or challenges depending on the spelling of the name.
I do too. What about all of these royal people we're talking about, Harry and Meghan, and they have these, they just gave their son five different names. How does that affect a child?
Well, when they have a whole lot of names, you look at the first one as the essence of who they are in this lifetime. And then you can go back in time and see, what did they learn the last lifetime and the one before that and the one before that? I mean, there's other people like actors too that have a whole string of names. My grandmother had eight names because she had to have a name after every relative. And it just gives you their history all the way back and through, and it lets you know their progress and how well they're doing.
So you're carrying the karma. Sharon, we have a caller. Her name is Carolyn Ann, and she was born on July 31st, and she's from San Francisco. Hello, Carolyn Ann. Are you there?
I am. Thanks for giving the number online, because it's typed wrong on your email.
Oh, my goodness.
It's 7957 on the email, so when you said it, I'm like, oh, good, I got the number.
Okay. So what question do you have for Sharon?
Well, I want her to see what she comes up with my name. And that I have a house to sell, and if it'll sell this year.
Okay, two things I need from you. One, I need the address, just the street, not the city, of your home, since I can look at that. And I just need at least the first letter of your last name, because I need to be able to drop your first name into your last name.
Oh, okay. The first letter's an R.
And
the address of the house I live in, or the address of the house I want to sell?
The one you want to sell.
1142.
And the street name?
Wall, W-A-L-L.
Okay, and is that a street or an avenue, a boulevard?
Street.
Thank you. Okay, so this one's going to hang on the market for a while because it's stubborn. Okay, and so it's almost like you need to go through a releasing ceremony and able to get your energy out of it totally, so that you're totally not attached to it. The other thing it says in here is that you're going to have to be a little bit flexible on the money, because whatever you initially say, whatever it is that you're choosing or that you think is your bottom line, there's just got to be a little bit of flexibility in it for it to sell. The interesting thing is that you can sell it, but it looks like more like at the summer, end of summer, fall, that time period.
Okay.
When that would happen. And in your name, you have real fairness issues. So you can't always stand up for yourself, but you can always stand up for other people if you think something's not right. And hopefully by now you've gotten that lesson of knowing how to stand up for yourself.
Yes.
Okay. But it's almost like this place selling, this 1142, with how you're going to be selling, you've got to get to practice on how do you nicely stand up for yourself and say what is required and able for a buyer to buy it without feeling pressured or without wanting to attack back if they're trying to push you in one direction or another. So how your name says to do that is to reaffirm you, never to attack going forward, but always to just reaffirm who you are. And you just say, the house is worth this much money.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And that you're going to have to come as close to it as possible and able for us to have a fair deal. And you've got to put in that word fair and able to let them know that you're not going to do a deal that's not fair and that you won't be pressured.
Okay.
Right. And I call that setting a condition.
I never lived in the house. It was a rental. So, yeah, I've heard it has maybe some bad energy.
It has to do with energy of what's all around us. I wanted to interrupt, Carolyn, because I don't like people to say it's got bad energy. It's just too debilitating to people that don't understand what energy is. And what Sharon is saying is absolutely true. I have a spray that would help you release it if you're interested in the spray that we have. It's sandalwood and frankincense, and it does a lot to break through energy, just like when you use Lysol, and everybody's using that these days to break through germs. It would help. But I think what she said goes with the astrology, which to me is even more fascinating, Sharon.
Oh, that I can do that out of a name?
Yeah.
You came up with the same thing on the astrology.
I did. And the interesting thing is, of course, with this virus thing and as bad as we are, it may even go into early next year that your house sells.
Yeah,
but
I think I should rent it out again.
We'll just hope for the September
issue. So I should probably rent it out again instead of try to sell it.
That would be good, I think.
Okay.
See, and I look at it from your name, Carolyn. Mm-hmm. I think it's a matter of belief. If you know you can sell it this summer, it'll sell. Mm-hmm. If you start giving gratitude, thank you so much for having a perfect person come and buy my house from me. You know, that's going to enjoy it. It's going to work for them. I think it can sell. I think a lot of things in our minds, because we don't know about this coronavirus, we keep pushing things out. Mm-hmm. And and there's a big window there. But I say, why not go for the beginning of the window instead of the end?
Absolutely.
So you think I should try to sell it?
I think you should hold on until the end of September and see if it sells. And she's feeling now I'm getting end of August is a possibility. There is a very short 2-week window. So if you wait through September, what's going to happen is you're going to hit the window.
Yeah, but I got to make payments in May, June, July, August, September.
It all comes to you easily and quickly. It comes to you, a child of God. It comes to you easily and quickly. I just wrote a book called Backstage, and it's a study of how to work with some of this invisible energy. Much like the name, the energy also helps you move things along.
Mm-hmm. It's a cute house, and it's in a great location. But
thank you for calling. Let's find out, Carolyn.
Okay.
Take
care. Thank you. Bye-bye.
So, Sharon, that was really good. Why don't you explain to us what our name says about us as a person? I mean, do we have to grow into our name? Our parents named us, maybe we impressed them, but do we have to grow into the responsibilities of a name?
Well, the name sets out what you're going to learn or be doing or where your focus is, okay, all the way through. And we all have 7 reasons for being here, or 7 purposes. And so
and
it literally gives you the timing of when you're going to be working on what. It's like, if we don't have purpose, I don't think we're here on the earth. I think all of us have a purpose. And there's actually 7 smaller parts that make up our overall purpose. And so those always come out in the name and what timing it is and able to do it. And then in the address, when I was looking at the address, the numbers themselves let you know what the energy is inside the house. The street name lets you know what the energy is of the neighbors and the street that you're living on. And then the city name lets you know the energy of the city as a whole. And so what you do is you drop the person's name into the address to see how it's going to work together.
And you know, Sharon, every year I look at the 10 top cities to live in to retire and the 10 top states, and I wonder if that applies to your rules, because it would be neat for you to agree with, such and such a city is the top city. Did you ever look at that?
I looked at it one time, and I thought it depends on who you are, what's top for you. Like, they have some of the cities and locations that either because of weather or because of crowdedness, I personally wouldn't want it to live there. I don't mind visiting, but I wouldn't want to stay. And so I really think it depends on your own name. Now, there's some really common letters that kind of lean in that direction. And then I think also there's brainwashing that leans in that direction, because, like, we hear how wonderful certain places are, and then we think, when we can get there. You know, how do we get there?
Well, of course, I think a lot of that is based on finances and who earns the most and everything. And there are places where people feel very serene, and it cannot be the most popular place in the world. And that's the differences in all of us. That's good. Well, what about nicknames? You know, I had a nickname, a couple of them through my life. How does that affect you?
So the birth name literally spells out when and what you're going to be learning and doing and when your timing is. And it says what your personality is that you started with or that you're going to be growing into and you're going to be learning. However, the nickname is saying how we present ourselves. So that's how we look on the outside versus the full birth name will be how we feel on the inside. So the nickname we may present differently than how we're feeling on the inside. You know, so like there can be a name that is very, I want to say shy or quiet on the inside, and yet they've learned that they need to be more outgoing and able to accomplish what they want to accomplish. So they're using a nickname that has more gusto. And a good example of that is Lady Gaga. Because if you look at her name, it's more of a subdued, quiet name, but the Lady Gaga is all out there. So I wouldn't be surprised if she was fairly quiet in her personal life, and yet totally not when she's on stage and being able to do that. And I think that her stage name gives her that extra oomph and energy and able to do what she does on stage.
Yeah, it's amazing when you're on stage. It really is. Can you give us an example of mnemology science and how it's different from numerology? Of course, I know numerology works with numbers.
Right, and mnemology doesn't work with any numbers at all, except for when you're figuring out the years and when the timing would be. And so It's literally by the placement of the letters in the name and what letter sits next to what letter. So there's three fundamental placements plus the first vowel position. So there's the first letter position, the first vowel position, the last letter position, and then all the rest are considered middle letters. So
there you go. We have to go to break,
okay.
Sharon. And I want to hear about the rest of it when we come back. So this is Let's Find Out with Elizabeth Joyce on OM Radio, and we are going to go to hear some messages, and we'll be back with Sharon's answer after this.
This is Elizabeth Joyce with Stargazing, week of May 25th through May 31st, 2020. This promises to be a quiet holiday week. The celebrated Memorial Day, Monday, May 25th, brings a watery trine with the Moon and Mars that focuses on your family and people who are in need. Let's hope that all of us get to move more out and about and share as the virus starts to ease in our area. Cancer is associated with food, families, and home, making for a good close-to-home holiday celebration. On Thursday, Mental Mercury moves into feeling-oriented Cancer, the sign that he will be in during the next retrograde cycle beginning on June 17th. It's time to communicate your emotions and begin quick home improvement projects. Mercury in Cancer is known for its intuition energy as well as emotional feelings. Instead of being in your head, as in Mercury in Gemini, your feelings and communications will be coming from your solar plexus and the heart center. This style on communication will continue into August because the planet retrogrades in June for 3 weeks. The downside is pouting, tears, and passive-aggressive silence. Be careful not to fall into that trap. Don't allow yourself to get depressed and know that whatever we're going through right now is only temporary. Friday morning will have you feeling sluggish, but that will improve by late afternoon. The Moon in Virgo on Saturday supports yard sales, cleaning up your clutter, and healthy eating. Ease into Sunday morning as the moon moves into graceful and luxury-loving Libra. Sleep late and enjoy a great meal with your loved ones. This is Elizabeth Joyce with Visions of Reality. The website is new-visions.com. If you'd like to make a call to ask a question or book a reading, the 24-hour answering service is 201-934-8986. Thank you for listening. Enjoy your holiday. Summer is officially open, and I'll see you next week.
Your conscious connection to a more mindful world. OM Times Radio. IOM FM. Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network.
The student asks the teacher, "How do I experience transformation?" The teacher replies, "When the student is ready to receive deeper answers, the student then asks, 'How do I know what deeper questions to ask?' And the teacher replies, 'When the student decides to commit to a practice inviting transformation, level 2 questions will be revealed.'" Hi, I'm Tomas Garza, and as a teacher and host, I'm inviting listeners to enroll in the Mastery of Transformation by joining me on Decide to Transform, your bridge to Level 2 Answers, Tuesdays, 1 p.m. Eastern, on OM Times Radio.
Elizabeth Joyce's Elixir Tea is really a healing tea. It's blended according to Ayurvedic principles and the chanting of Sanskrit mantras. So it assures a deep cellular healing, relief that flows from within. So drink Elizabeth's healing tea before you meditate. Order it online or call 201-934-8986, 201-934-8986.
A social distancing tip.
Putting distance between yourself and others is critical to slowing the spread of coronavirus. So here are ways to stay in contact without the physical contact part. Call, send a text, set up a video conference, post on social media, dedicate a song on the radio. If you have symptoms of fever, dry cough, and shortness of breath, call your healthcare provider before going to their office. For more info, visit coronavirus.gov.
Let's all do our part, because we're all hashtag alone together. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
There are many steps to mastery. for the wisdom that time and knowledge bring. And I'm grateful for the music and the lyrics that we sing. I am grateful for desires and the blissful way I feel. And I'm gratefully at peace, all is well and I am healed. All is well, all is well. All is well, all is well. I am blissfully abundant when I gaze into your eyes. And I'm blissfully abundant knowing love that never dies. I am blissfully abundant for the joyous way I feel. And I'm blissfully at peace, all is well and I am healed. All is well and I am healed. All is well and I am healed. All is well and I am healed.
This is Elizabeth Joyce with Let's Find Out on OM Times Radio, and that was Elaine Silver and Blissfully Abundant. I do love her music. My guest today is Sharon Wythe, and she is the founder of Numerology. Can you say it right, Sharon? I'm not too good at it.
It's Nameology. It just has a Latin spelling because you can't trademark a common word like name. And so I spelt it how name is said in Latin, which is N-E-I-M, but I still pronounce it Nameology.
So the science seems to be working on one letter at a time. I think it's amazing. And how differently, if names are sound alike, how differently is it? Like dawn and dawn and all that kind of thing.
You go by the letters, not by the sounds, unless a letter sounds totally like something else. Like you might have an X that sounds like an S or a C, then you would include the sound of the letter, the actual letter that you're hearing, along with the letters that are there. But it's not just one letter at a time, because just like if you're in a situation where you're sitting next to somebody you like, you may be more talkative than if you're in the same situation sitting next to somebody that you don't care for. And it's the same thing with the letters. So for an example, let's say that we have a CH in a name, like in Cheryl or Michael. So the C stands, my mnemonic device for C is charming and charismatic, to cover their need to be in charge and in control. Okay? So they like to be the one that's giving out the orders, and they like to be the boss. So then you have the H, which I call the holy letter, and they're the ones that like to just get in the river and go with the flow, and wherever it takes them, they know they're going to be fine, and it's exactly where they're supposed to be. So they, I always jokingly say, they let go and they let God. Now you put a C, which is all about control, even though they do it nicely, and you do the H, which is all about go with the flow, and you put them next to each other. Well, they make everything the hard way because they don't know when to be in charge and when to let go. So they have that inner struggle going at all times. Do I hang on? Do I take over? Do I relax? Do I release? And so they do everything the hard way.
Oh, that's so interesting. What if we, how important is the last name with all of this?
That's your environmental influence. So you have both nature and nurture. So the nature is in your first name and the nurture comes from your last name. And that's why I always need at least one letter in the last name to drop the first name in it. Because just as you know, Elizabeth, all Elizabeths aren't the same, even though Elizabeth is one of the strongest feminine names out there. Okay? So you need to have something to drop it into to start seeing what the influence of the environment and how it shifted what the raw material is in the first name.
I have a sister I'd like to ask. She's the only one that's still here, and her name is Clara May, and I'm asking you that because of what you said about the C. C-L-A-R-A-M-A-Y.
Okay, so So in her name, she has that she wants everybody else to follow the rules, but she does not want to have to follow them.
You got that
so,
right.
So the set of rules, and that's because of what follows the C, and that's why I'm saying you have to know more than just the singleton letters, because you have to know how they play with the letters next to them. So, so hers, the way it's spelled, says she wants everybody else to follow the rules, but mm-hmm. she doesn't want to have to follow them because she thinks she doesn't need to, that she has better discernment, that she can decide which rules are worth following and which ones aren't. But she likes to be able to predict how other people are going to behave, so they all need to follow the rules.
Interesting. And how does she get along with an Elizabeth?
There's a direct misunderstanding between where the vowels are located. So it's up to her to decide to learn your method of communication and able for the relationship to work.
That's
because I put all the vowels on a circle, and whatever vowel is directly across from your vowel is the one that there's the most misunderstandings. And hers are directly across from yours. So there would be misunderstandings, even though it's not intentional. It's just because you both are coming from different places.
That's neat. Listen, Jerome, we are out of time, and I have loved having you on, and I'd love you to come back again. Please give out your contact information.
The easiest way to get a hold of me is at the website knowthename.com, and know is K-N-O-W, thename.com. But sometimes, you know, if you're not right where you can write it down or whatever, it might be harder to remember. So you just have to remember, oh, I got to remember that name. Oh, yeah, I need to know the name. Oh, that was it, knowthename.com. And Elizabeth, it's always a joy to join you. Thank you.
Thank you for being on Let's Find Out. This is Elizabeth Joyce, and we're going to get ready to go into our meditation, which will be very special today. And next week, we have on Roberta. Roberta's on from the AIM program, energymatrix.com, and she is going to tell us about this wonderful way of healing with your photograph. I'm excited. I love Roberta, and I was with the AIM program for years. So we're looking forward to that next Monday at 6 o'clock. Thank you for listening, and please enjoy the meditation. Good night. This is Elizabeth Joyce. I'm inviting you to join us worldwide to help strengthen and build our immune systems against any and all out-of-bounds materials that may come our way. Visualize a sacred flame inside you. It sits between the middle of your hips and your navel. You can feel the energy coming in from this flame. It's very present and very alive. The color of this flame is amber, representing the new double helix energy that flows in from the center of the universe. Feel this powerful fifth dimension energy rising up from the second chakra to fill the solar plexus chakra at your navel. Know that this healing energy is arising from the flame and merging with your own kundalini as well as your inner fire. Let the top of the flame begin to rise until it reaches your navel. The top of the flame comes to a fine point. If you follow the flame down, it gets wider, encompassing the second chakra. While its tip reaches your navel, your flame is spreading below, filling your abdomen. This is the receiving chakra, and you are choosing to receive this energy flowing in from the fifth dimension to help you stay centered, clear, well-balanced, and healthy. It encourages the body not to allow any foreign matter to penetrate it.
Allow this flame to rise until the tip reaches the center of your chest, which is your heart chakra. The new heart chakra is a brilliant yellow, so we're allowing the amber flame to pierce through the solar plexus, which is now your green chakra, and up to the heart center, which is the brilliant yellow. And it will expand up to your 10th chakra, which is your new heart center. Now that the tip of the flame has reached the heart, see how your center solar plexus chakra is being filled with this light as well. As you feel the nourishing and expanding warmth of your inner flame, you also sense that things are being consumed by the fire, such as fear, impatience, judgment. All the negative forces that are within you are now being consumed by the fire, and the love of the universal love, is spreading throughout that area. Sense that things being consumed are your limiting thoughts, your limiting beliefs, feelings, and the patterns that you don't need around you. Take a deep breath. Take a deep breath into your abdomen and allow this burning to take place. Let the flames fill the hollow of your stomach with positive and powerful energy. As the widening flame engulfs the center of your heart, feel that flood of tingling energy as your heart wounds are mended. Now let the flame continue its rising. It's going to begin to go out the center of your back and form a circle. It reaches up over the top of the head and pierces the 10th chakra, about 20 feet above you. And then it falls down again and back to the 4th chakra, the heart center. Then back out through the back and up into the 10th chakra. This is the amber flame of light, the new 5th dimension love center. Is called the circle of light. Breathe into it. Let the flame continue its rising. The tip is traveling up from your heart, going into your throat, going into your shoulders, going into your lungs with its healing heat. Feel how your body is now emerged with the pure life center energy, with aliveness, with passion, with creative energy. Breathe that in. Feel the warmth, feel the joy, and feel the love. Know that you are centered, whole, and complete. Now you can begin your new mantra. May I always be present to show the path of light and love to the pathless and the suffering, wanderers of life. If they should not understand or be open to this inner realization, may I abide in patience from the depth of loving kindness. May I continue to carry your love throughout the day, and may it touch the heart of anyone that I see, interchange with, talk to, or think about. I lovingly send this light to all of my loved ones, my family members, and the people that matter, as well as to the others that I do not know. May I be aligned with my soul purpose and aligned with everyone I meet in this light of love, kindness, joy, and wellness. May I create a plan of action helping to accomplish the healing and removal of any negative energy that has come forth on the planet to destroy the body. My body is my temple. It is filled with your light every day. Thank you, Spirit, for being with me, for supporting me, and for supporting this purpose. May this energy the fifth dimension energy of amber light, clear any blocks that are stopping me from knowing, achieving, and living for my divine purpose. May I discover the secret of how to keep this energy and alignment within me, moving ahead as I walk my path throughout the year. Thank you for your kindness to me and for the world. Thank you for your presence in our lives, even when we are scared and concerned. Thank you for your patience, your understanding of our struggles, and for your joy of being in our lives. Thank you, God, for your love. Thank you, God, for your vast and deep understanding. Thank you, God, for all of this and more that you pour forth to us without end. In the name of the heart, the head, and the hand, I send blessings to all unseen people and all people that are dear to me and all people that have ever touched my life. I know that I am strong. I know that I am centered. I know that I am love. I know that I receive love. I know that I give love. And I know that I am. And so it is.
And I heard my